We've been emphasizing for some time now that very important principle that's revealed in Romans 8 and verse 28. This is a marvelous passage. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Keeping that particular principle in mind will help us go through periods of difficulty. The Bible does not teach that we will be free from difficulty. But the Bible does say that all things, and that means all things, work together for the ultimate good of certain people. Those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. Now that ought to motivate us to want to love God and to be among those who are the called according to His purpose. Well, the Bible contains many illustrations of that particular principle. I especially enjoy studying Bible characters in the Old Testament, and I see that principle carried out in their lives. And as they were going through the things that they faced, they trusted God. And of course, God did work things out for their ultimate good. The book of Genesis provides a great illustration of how all things work together for good in the life of Joseph. Remember that Jacob had 12 sons. The tribes of Israel were named after his sons. Of course, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. There was a tribe of Levi, but that particular tribe had no land inheritance. They had a number of cities, but they had no actual land inheritance. So there were 12 tribes. There's not one named after Joseph, but there are two tribes named after Ephraim and Manasseh. But Judah, one of Jacob's sons, stands out in a very great way. It was indicated by Jacob as he was blessing his son shortly before he passed away that kings would descend from him. That's a great prophecy having to do with the future of the children of Israel. They would eventually have kings, and those kings would be descendants of Judah. It's interesting that the first king of Israel was Saul. He came from a different tribe. He began in a very good way. Unfortunately, he rebelled against God, and God removed him from being king, and David took his place. David was a descendant of Judah. And eventually, the Son of God came from that very tribe. So Judah stands out in a very great way concerning the descendants of Jacob. Then there's Levi. The priest came from the tribe of Levi. They would have a great influence upon the children of Israel concerning religious matters. So Levi was a very important son of Jacob. But I don't know if Joseph has ever received his due credit. If it had not been for Joseph, the nation of Israel would not have been able to develop. And a great prophecy that we've mentioned several times that God made to Abraham would not have been fulfilled. God said that Abraham's descendants would spend 400 years in a foreign land. When the time was right, they would be able to go and have the land of Canaan. Joseph played a very important role in that coming to pass. So as we study Jacob and his sons, we need to appreciate the way that they influenced the nation of Israel. But I don't believe we need to overlook Joseph. He was very instrumental in the development of the nation of Israel. In our lesson this evening, we want to concentrate for a little while on the information that's presented in Genesis chapter 44. But as we study this chapter, there are a few things that we certainly need to keep in mind. As we have said several times, this is an ongoing narrative, so each chapter builds on the information that's already been covered. This is an ongoing story. So we need to try to keep the whole story in mind as we look at each new chapter. But there are several things that we need to keep in mind that are very important concerning the information revealed in chapter 44. Remember that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. When the 7 years of famine began, the effects were widespread. Egypt was not the only country affected by the famine. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that even Jacob and his family were affected by the famine, and they lived in the land of Canaan. So the effects of that famine were widespread. Well, Jacob had to have some food for his family, so he sent 10 of his sons down to Egypt to purchase some grain. He had heard that grain was available in Egypt, so he sent 10 of his sons to purchase some grain. Now, his sons had to deal with Joseph. Remember that Pharaoh had made him the number two ruler in Egypt, and he was responsible for storing up the grain during the years of plenty in preparation for the years of famine. And Joseph gave some wise instructions to Pharaoh, gave some very smart instructions, and I think Pharaoh demonstrated great wisdom by putting Joseph in charge of collecting the grain. Well, Jacob's sons had to deal with Joseph when they went down to Egypt. Remember, a number of years had passed, and as Joseph's brothers stood before him, they did not recognize him. But he did recognize them. Well, Joseph had a discussion with his brothers through an interpreter, and he accused his brothers of being spies. And as they responded to that, Joseph learned some information about his father as well as his little brother Benjamin. Well, Joseph kept Simeon in prison until Benjamin could be brought to Egypt. He first put all of the brothers in prison. But then after, about 3 days, he decided to keep Simeon, and he would allow his other brothers to go back to their father, but he said, "You cannot come back until you bring your brother Benjamin." Well, at first, when Jacob learned that, he would not allow Benjamin to go. He'd already lost Joseph in his mind. He didn't know what was taking place. He thought that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Now his son Simeon is in prison down in Egypt. He could not bear the thought of losing Benjamin. So at first he would not allow Benjamin to go down to Egypt when additional grain was needed. But after some time, that grain that they had gotten the first time was used up. And Jacob sent his sons back to purchase some more grain. But he finally allowed Benjamin to go. I've often wondered how much sleep Jacob got when his boys went back to Egypt and carried Benjamin with them. Don't you know he was concerned about the welfare of his little boy, his youngest boy? Well, Jacob's sons appeared before Joseph, and he invited them for a noontime meal. And it's interesting that Joseph had his brothers seated according to their ages, and Benjamin was given a much larger portion than the others. I believe his portion was 5 times that of the other brothers. Now, you know, I just believe that if I had been one of those brothers, I would be just a little bit curious as to how this Egyptian knew the ages of all the brothers. And he had the seating arrangements all laid out. I don't know if I would have figured out that Joseph was my brother because his appearance obviously has changed. And he's speaking through an interpreter. But I would begin to wonder, I think, how someone knew all of their ages and then made the seating arrangements in that order. Well, Joseph's brothers were afraid when he invited them for a meal. However, after the meal, the indication is they enjoyed being with him. Look at the very last few words of chapter 43. And they drank and were merry with him. That is, the brothers were merry with Joseph. That's the way that chapter 43 ends. Now, the brothers have gone back to Egypt to purchase some more grain. This time they have Benjamin. Joseph invites them to lunch. They're very concerned about that. But after the meal, it seems that everything was okay. Well, let's look at chapter 44 and look at verses 1, 2, and 3. We will see that Joseph's brothers started on their journey back to Canaan. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, this is Joseph speaking to his steward, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. Now, Joseph's brothers would be carrying quite a load of grain back to Canaan. And at this point, it certainly seems that they had no reason to suspect that anything else would happen. Now, remember, their money had been placed in the grain sacks. They were concerned about that. They even asked about it. But the man responsible said, I didn't know anything about it. Well, this is something that Joseph was responsible for. They brought that money back, and they brought additional money. No doubt they were very concerned when they first came to Egypt about what Joseph was going to do to them. But now it seems that everything is okay. Well, at this point, they had no reason to suspect that anything else was going to take place. They had a good meal with Joseph and they were happy. Simeon had been released from prison, so he'd be reunited with his dad back in Canaan. And at this point, nothing had happened to Benjamin. Now, that's what everybody was concerned about. What was going to happen to Benjamin? Well, at this point, nothing had happened to him. Now, the brothers didn't know it, but they would be carrying their money with them in their grain sacks, and Benjamin would have Joseph's cup. Now, all of that took place under the instruction of Joseph. This is what he told his steward to do, to put the money in the grain sacks and to put his cup in the grain sack of the youngest, who, of course, was Benjamin. Now, at this point, the brothers don't know any of that. It has happened, but they don't know it. Well, let's look at verses 4, 5, and 6. We see that Joseph sent his steward to catch up with the brothers who accused them of stealing Joseph's cup. Verse 4. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto a steward, up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them and spake unto them these same words. Now, you know, when Joseph's brothers were on their way back to Canaan, they have Simeon. Nothing's happened to Benjamin. They've got grain. You can't help but think that they were probably relieved at this point. They left on good terms with Joseph. However, they had not gone very far when Joseph's steward overtook them, and he asked them why they had done something so evil as taking the cup that belonged to Joseph. Now, this is all a plan by Joseph. The brothers don't know anything that's going on at this point. Well, let's continue. We'll see that the cup was found in the grain sack that belonged to Benjamin. Now, at first, Joseph's brothers defended themselves. Let's continue at verse 7. And they said unto him, that is the brother speaking to the steward, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouths, we brought it again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. So at first, brothers of Joseph tried to defend themselves. How in the world could we do such an evil thing as this? Joseph has been so good to us. We have grain. Our brothers are with us. Speaking of Simeon and Benjamin, how could we possibly do something as evil as take the cup that belonged to Joseph? Well, the steward was on a mission. He was there to find Joseph's cup. Now, the brothers didn't know that they had it, but they did have it. Verse 11. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. You know, sometimes when I'm studying the Bible, I try to imagine what it would have been like to be present when certain things took place. Can you imagine the expressions on the faces of Joseph's brothers when that cup was taken out of the grain sack belonging to Benjamin? It would have been interesting to see the expressions on their faces. Remember, all along, these men had guilty consciences because of what they had done to Joseph years earlier. And it seems that they're able to deal with that to some extent. Later on, they'll still have a guilty conscience over it. But they wonder several times why all these things are coming upon them. Are they being paid back for what they had done to Joseph? I'd just like to have seen their expressions when that cup was taken out of the grain sack that belonged to Benjamin. I kind of would have liked to have seen Benjamin's expression. He had no knowledge it was in there. I don't know his age at this particular time, but he was very young. And he, of course, was very close with his father. So the cup that belonged to Joseph was found in the grain sack that belonged to Benjamin. Now, of course, Joseph's brothers were upset when this took place, but they went back to Egypt to appear before Joseph. Verse 13. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Remember those dreams that Joseph had years earlier? And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? Know ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Now, when Joseph interrogated his brothers, Judah first responded by saying that the brothers would be his servants. However, as Joseph talked with them, he stated that only Benjamin would remain in Egypt to be his servant. The other brothers would be free to return to their father in the land of Canaan. But we need to keep in mind that earlier in chapter 43, Judah said that he would be surety for Benjamin. Now remember that Joseph said that the only way they could come back to Egypt was to bring Benjamin with them. They told that to Jacob, and he said, I can't bear to let him go. Finally, after the grain was gone, he agreed to let him go. And now, Joseph wants to keep him in Egypt. But Judah, as he was talking to his father, said that he would be surety for Benjamin. Now, we need to keep that in mind as we consider what Judah had to say. You know, that was a difficult situation for all these men. And in the remaining part of the chapter, we see that Judah made a very passionate appeal on behalf of Benjamin. And when you read this, you can't help but feel just a little bit of emotion for him, or maybe a lot of emotion. Judah was the one who spoke up. Remember, he said that he would be surety for Benjamin. That was the agreement that he made with his father. So he had quite a bit of interest in what was taking place. But he first talked about everything that had taken place with Joseph. He's covering the whole story. Verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him, that is to Joseph, and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Except your younger brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, You know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So Judah, as he's speaking to Joseph, rehearses the thing from the very beginning. You know, perhaps he should have done this earlier. But things have just developed to this point. Judah has said that he would be surety for Benjamin, so he had quite an interest in what was taking place. So he spoke up to Joseph and told him the whole thing from beginning up to that point. Now Judah said that Jacob would just simply die if Benjamin did not go home. Verse 30. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Judah was confident that if they went home and did not have Benjamin, Jacob would not live. He would just simply die. He would be so filled with sorrow. Now Judah went on to ask Joseph if he would keep him as a servant in the place of his brother Benjamin. Verse 32. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? I tried to put myself in Joseph's position and listening to what Judah had to say. It's obvious that Judah loved his father. He was concerned about his welfare. He knew what would happen to him if Benjamin did not go home. So he said, keep me as a servant in the place of my brother Benjamin. I think it's interesting that Judah was willing to pay a great price. One of his descendants many years later did pay a big price. But remember, Judah had spoken up. First, Reuben wanted to set Joseph free when the other brothers wanted to kill him. But it was Judah who also spoke up. And now he's speaking up on behalf of Benjamin, right to his brother Joseph, and still doesn't know who Joseph is. Well, as we come to chapter 45, and Lord willing, we want to look at that chapter next week. Joseph had heard all that he could take. And he did about the only thing he could do. Before he continued, he had a good cry. Well, Judah made quite a speech when he was standing before Joseph. He rehearsed the whole matter. He talked about the love that Jacob had for Benjamin. He talked about what would happen to Jacob if Benjamin did not go home. And then he agreed to be a servant in the place of his brother. I seem to recall that Jesus one time said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, Judah wasn't giving his life physically, but he was willing to become a servant in Egypt in the place of his brother. He was very concerned about his father Jacob. And wouldn't it be wonderful if in our country today and in our world in general, that kind of love abounded once again? Many of the things that take place just wouldn't take place. Well, we can't control the whole world, but we sure can control what we do, can't we? And we need to study these great Bible stories and learn from these great Bible characters and see how their lives illustrate the fact that all things work together for good on behalf of those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose.